CBS Eye on the World. The New World Report, thanks to Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, the Latin American research professor. We turn to breaking news about Latin America, and this is a major story that connects to all parts of Latin America, especially to the ungoverned space, the failed state of Venezuela, but also includes Havana, Castro, also includes what you know of AMLO in Mexico City, because an organization that is associated with narco-terrorism, with plunder, with asymmetrical warfare called FARC, F-A-R-C, this is the acronym of the Spanish words, has now had a significant change in its weather. I read from the Washington Post report, Bogota, the capital of Colombia. The Biden administration has removed the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC, from the State Department's list of foreign terrorist organizations in an effort to support the country's peace process for 5 years after the end of its decades-long conflict. The move was hailed by many in Colombia as a necessary and logical step that will allow the United States to work on key peace-building programs involving former combatants from the now demobilized group known as FARC. But it was blasted by several U.S. politicians who accused the Biden administration of siding with a leftist rebel group that terrorized Colombia with kidnappings, bombings, and other attacks. I emphasize that word terrorized because it's in the past tense in this presentation. Professor, what is FARC? What do we need to know about its history that is now behind it, according to the United States?
Well, John, what the U.S. has done by taking the FARC off the terror watch list makes sense at a technical level, but it has certain undesirable strategic symbolic implications. So the FARC was one of what really became two major terrorist groups in Colombia. The FARC itself had started out coming out of the La Violencia and really take it off in about 1964. And so it was really a half century struggle against the Colombian government. In 2016, the Colombian government of Juan Manuel Santos made a peace agreement with the FARC, or finalized a peace agreement. And the expectation was that because the U.S. had put the FARC on this terror watch list or terror list in about 2000, that with the peace accord, the United States would take the FARC off the list eventually, pursuant to good FARC behavior. Now, the FARC technically did demobilize about 13,000 people. What the U.S. Has kind of recognized is that the FARC as a body itself did demobilize. What happened, though, was that there are certain groups within the FARC that continue to fight, especially those who were along the Venezuelan border and in other places, heavily involved in narco trafficking, which was very profitable. There are two major groups. One is led by a former FARC fighter, Gentil Duarte, who spends a lot of his time in Venezuela, and another which basically continued narco trafficking and got disillusioned with the peace process and decided to rejoin them. That's headed by Ivan Marquez and formerly Jesus Santrich. And so what the U.S. basically said is that the old FARC, which has now become a political movement, we're going to take them off the watch list. But we're going to say, oh, by the way, these new splinter groups, which continue to do narco trafficking and continue to do terrorist actions, Gentil Duarte's people and even Marquez's people, we're going to name them and their groups as continuing terrorists. So that way that the U.S. can provide aid to certain areas in Colombia where former FARC continue to operate. So it makes sense at a certain level, but the problem is that it whitewashes some very, very grave problems with the peace process that continue to play out now 5 years later and that have led to deep dissatisfaction in Colombia. And it also sends this symbolic message at a time in which you have Nicolas Maduro in Colombia, in Venezuela, continuing to actively engage not only the FARC, but the ELN and in other groups. So it sends a wrong signal, even though technically it makes sense what the U.S. has done.
I read from the Washington Post, quoting Senator Rubio of Florida, who with his colleague Senator Scott and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis have all objected to this decision by the Biden administration. Three Republicans, Florida, a state dominated by Republican information, Quote from Senator Rubio, Colombia has endured decades of pain and suffering because of the vicious terrorist attacks spearheaded by the FARC. The Biden administration decision to remove the FARC from the foreign terrorist organization list risks emboldening narco-terrorists and the regimes that sponsor them throughout our region. End quote. Let's go to those regimes. That would be Caracas, Venezuela, Maduro. What does this mean for Mr. Maduro, who has been gaining in stature? It's an unusual word, but there it is. Among his colleagues, especially his colleagues in Nicaragua, in Honduras, in Cuba. You understand, Professor. He's been gaining. Does this decision by the U.S. help Maduro, hurt Maduro, or is he indifferent of the old FARC?
It's a great question, John. And with all respect to Senator Rubio and others, I believe, again, this decision is technically correct, but symbolically really ill-advised. It's technically correct in the sense that the old FARC really does no longer exist and they have cooperated, but it does signal the new groups that continue to engage in these activities, FARC-EP and the Segunda Marquetalla, continue to be named and their leaders continue to be named. But in some ways, it's a distinction without a difference because it sends a signal that comes on top of the recent Maduro victory in the elections in Venezuela, the largely rigged elections that devastated what was left of the opposition and allows him to consolidate power. It symbolizes that the U.S. is no longer pressing the fight either in Colombia against the radical left or Venezuela at a time in which that is very much an issue. It signals also some of the other kind of bad actors, again, the ELN and their operations in the mining arc in the center of Venezuela and some of the ways in which that continues to threaten Colombia. And more frankly, more broadly, the pushback against actions by Cuba and other elements of the advance of the left it signals that the U.S. is not continuing to press that fight as good as it. So it's technically correct, but it symbolically sends a very worrisome signal at a time in which the region has never been moving as far to the left in such a worrisome way with such grave implications for the U.S. Again, as we've also seen in Honduras with Xiomara Castro and Liberté, among others.
Another major political figure in the region, a candidate for the presidency in the spring election in Colombia. His name is Gustavo Petro. This from Bloomberg. In these last days, Colombian presidential frontrunner would end new oil exploration. Petro says he'd lead Colombia away from extractivist economy. That's a very good, favorable ideological position given the world of climate change. But Mr. Petro is associated with the center left. There have been and there remain allegations that he has profited from narco trafficking or other illegal activities. But I understand this is an allegation only. What does this FARC decision mean for Mr. Petro's candidacy?
Of course, remembering that Petro himself was a member of the M19, another former Colombian guerrilla group that also was in a previous era reintegrated into Colombian politics and society. And so in many ways, that symbol by the U.S., really helps to legitimize the position of Petro as a former guerrilla who then positions himself politically. Now I'm not sure that it will have a significant impact because in the end of the day, Colombia is still gravely split, whatever the U.S. decides or doesn't decide, between those who deeply fear the advance of the left through the FARC and the ELN and other actors, and have seen that the damage that was done in the past months with respect to the weaponization of protests in places like Cali and Medellin, and those who, on the other hand, are fatigued by what Colombia is going through and feel, much like in Honduras, the need for change, even a change in a very different direction. So I think at the end of the day, whether Petro wins or not is going to depend on whether the exhaustion wins out over the fear of leftist radicalism or vice versa. And I think the Colombians are still playing that out right now and trying to make that decision. I think it's going to shift back and forth quite a bit between now and in May.
The narco-terrorism, we've talked about this, the narco-trafficking. There are other ways to talk about it in terms of geopolitical forces. It can be presented as an attack on the United States and the whole region. because it creates crime syndicates that undermine governance. It calls into question democracy as an effective force compared to, say, the model that China represents. At this point, Evan, is it possible to discern between the actors in Latin America who are narco traffickers or sympathetic to it? That would be Maduro, that would be Noriega. And the bad actors themselves, are they working together? In other words, are we looking at the weaponization of cocaine?
It's a great question, John. And I would characterize it as a number of different bad or malevolent forces that when they come together, they fundamentally challenge governance and democracy and the U.S. strategic position in the region. So for me, the narco trafficking is a corrupting force, and it's a force that produces violence and sustains inequality. That force has been used by the radical populist left, as we've seen with Venezuela and Evo Morales in Bolivia, but it's also been used by the right, as we've seen by Juan Orlando Hernandez, among others. The problem is that when it's used by the left, the left is able to help consolidate itself in power and enrich itself, and that often leads the left to decrease cooperation with the DEA and other things to protect themselves. On the other hand, when it's used by the right, that oftentimes becomes a vehicle for the U.S. to cut off aid and for the the left to mobilize against it, and for the left to then come into power in the name of corruption. Then on top of that, you have new actors like China. So when the left does come to power, pushed by that narco-corruption, you then have PRC money as an incubator. And so I really see it as a troublesome cauldron where it all kind of combines, both on the left or right, to move us towards a region which is ever more populist, ever more engaged with the Chinese, ever more reluctant to do security and other cooperation with the United States. And so we really have a vested interest to make democracy succeed, transparency succeed, free markets to succeed. And if we don't, we're going to continue to see this oscillation, I think, between the between these forces that ultimately take us in a worrisome direction.
Does the decision about the FARC then become part of this is normalizing the past? All is forgiven, or at least a great deal is forgiven. Is that helpful? I'm trying to find a rosy scenario here, Evan, before we turn to Peru. Forgiving, reconciliation is a positive and has been a positive for other states. Is it for Colombia?
Colombia has deep wounds with the half century war against the FARC. I think in some ways there was hope in 2016 that that peace accord would lead to a reconciliation, which was not fully achieved. I think the U.S. Attempt is again technically correct, but it's an attempt to say, okay, we've moved beyond this matter and we're just going to concentrate on these residual FARC elements. So in a sense, it takes Colombia in a positive direction in that reconciliation, but in a sense, it also whitewashes the very grave issues, because whether the FARC is, whether it's all of the FARC or just the two dissident groups that are on the list, you still have over 2 million Venezuelans, putting a great strain on Colombia. You have skyrocketing production of cocaine. You have the activities of the FARC dissidents operating out of Venezuela, the ELN and various other armed organized groups on all sides. You have a range of other pressures, and frankly, you have Colombia's neighbors, not only Venezuela, but others, moving in a politically worrisome direction. And so for Colombia itself, this is a very, very grave situation, whatever we decide to call former members of the FARC.
Evan Ellis is Latin American research professor, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute. Peru, Machu Picchu. They want the tourism back. It's summertime in Peru, and they've discovered a wonder, a mummy, perhaps more than 1,000 years old. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.